Are we prepared?
We are prepared.
Okay. Well, I want to say welcome to FMSD Wednesday evening. It's good to see everybody here who's here. This evening is about a new fun group that Papa Tony has introduced me to that I've been enjoying for at least a couple of months now, called Let the Slash. I've been to 3 meetings so far, and it's always interesting. It has opened my eyes to many, many, many evil things that I plan on inserting into my repertoire as I progress in this lifestyle. But first, we're going to start with some announcements. For the next 2 Wednesday nights, we are not having meetings here. Our next meeting here will be January 7th, and it's pretty much an open forum / year in review, discussing the blessings and all of the other things that have occurred to us over the 2014 year. And we just want to talk about it and come together and share things about our lives that have improved, things that have changed, things that have made us better people, is what that Wednesday night is about. I don't know of any other announcements so far other than
Butch Men's Experience coming to San Diego January 30th, 2015. See me if you need any more information.
About Mike? Yes, sir.
An additional point as far as the January 7th event, by that time I will hopefully, if business slows down, normally this is the slow time of my year, but I'm making a shit pot of money, and I'm glad. But it does not give me time to do what I normally do this time of year, which is to very carefully go through all of the major events of the calendar and put them all into the calendar, you know, in a big core dump. So all the ones, Southwest Leather Conference, IML, Folsom, all that stuff. There's many, many, many of them. I want to put in the correct new information, you know, along with if you're going to Phoenix Pride, the parade is on Saturday rather than or on Sunday or whatever. I'm going to have it all in one place.
So year in review and highlights of the next year.
That's right.
Sounds like a plan. Mm-hmm. Are there any other announcements anyone can think of? Okay, well, I would like to introduce you to...
Sarge, Miss Leather... Tomorrow night at the S&M Lounge, there is a gear invasion. I'll be there.
S&M Lounge?
It's called the S&M
Sausage and Meat. It's a new restaurant over on Normal Street.
I forgot what it
is. Park, excuse me.
Park. Yeah, if you go to El Cajon and Park and then start heading south, it's on the right.
Oh,
it's a big old S&M.
S&M to me means stand and model if you go to the Twinkie bars.
Yes.
For him, it's sausage and meat, but he also, in the literature, he also says, you know, growing up kinky, it was...
Sausage and meat across from Sprouts tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
Okay? Sarge, Miss International.
Miss San Diego Leather.
San Diego International.
Thank you.
Miss Intergalactic, yes.
What else is going on this weekend? I thought I saw something on Facebook about Friday or Saturday night. But there's always something going on.
There's always something.
But so now I'd like to introduce you to our 2 guest speakers this evening. If you don't know, Mr. Nathan on the right and Mr. Duke on the left. And take it away, boys.
Thanks, David. So, my name's Nathan. I've been out into the community for just over 2 years. My introduction was visiting friends in San Francisco who asked me, did I want to go to a street fair? Okay, sure. Okay, well, you got to put on this harness. And you got to put on this collar. So I spent that weekend working the gates with the sisters up there and having my eyelids peeled off and going, oh, this is a very fun lifestyle. I have a submissive. She's my wife. We have 3 kids. We came out into the community 2 years ago because my mother-in-law had moved in recovering from a knee surgery, and it kind of cramps your style for doing what we do in the bedroom when she's next door. And I ran into this guy, Marcus, and Tony at Club X Coffee Social, And they don't seem that batshit crazy. Nobody smells of chloroform. Nobody's got the girls of duct tape. And 3 months later, I ended up on the board of Club X for the better part of a year and a half. But one of the things I noticed when I first came out to the community, keeping in mind my introduction, that it was at Falso, there really wasn't a support group for those who identified as being tops, dominants, masters, mistresses, etc. I kind of had expected to wander in and find, little clusters of guys who, we get together, we discuss how to come up with fucked up ideas to do fucked up people and not permanently put them in the hospital. And it just, there was nothing around at that time. So being the arrogant little prick that I am, I went ahead and formed a group I called Left of the Slash, and I specified that you have to be identifying predominantly as being in a top dominant space for at least 90% of the time, and that you attend that event in a left-centric space. And the goal was really just to get everybody together, and all genders, all identifications, all orientations, because really we're all doing ourselves a disservice if we're not picking up the tools and the tips from other people and how they play and how they live their lifestyles, because ultimately we can pervert anything that we want to in the name of what we do. And it kind of took a life of its own at that point. So I'll stop there for now before I get into how everyone, if you want to do your spiel.
I don't even know what to say. I think almost everybody here knows me.
Duke, I'm on the board for Club X now. And I'm working with Magnum to sponsor Bushman's coming here in January. So I'll put in another plug for that. Definitely buy your tickets. It's going to be a good event. I came out publicly in the community probably about 6 months before this guy. And I was smart enough to stay away from the board of Club X for a little bit longer than but he was actually the one that talked me into joining the board and helping out more in the community. Turns out that despite having a lot of dominant personalities and leadership within households, a lot of people struggle with going out and doing that leadership role publicly among the larger groups. So like Magnum and Tony and David, doing it here is a huge step for them. I think it's fantastic that they're doing this. When Nathan created Left of the Slash, I was one of those ones that he was hanging out with, and we were just kind of bandying ideas about back and forth. Marcus and the other guys, we'd sit around having coffee on Saturday mornings, and we'd talk about all the fucked up things we were going to do to fucked up people. But it became clear that there wasn't a larger network. It was, like he says, there was groups for the submissives, and the girls would sit there and talk about all the stuff that they did at Submissive Voice, and they were out doing those things, and we're like, so when do we get together to talk about things? Because, it's one thing to be in a room where it's cross-pollinated with the submissives and us and everything. You can't really say everything that's on your mind because, you don't want to let them behind the curtain. So Nathan created this safe space, and it's actually been fantastic. I was there at the first meeting. I haven't made every meeting over the last year and 3 months or so.
Maybe two or three you missed out on for the races.
But being able to go in there and talk about, all right, how do you deal with this situation with a submissive? And sometimes it's as simple as, hey, what kind of fucked up things are you planning to do at the next party? Because I'm looking for ideas too. So the variety of topics that come up runs the gamut. And I think the submissives all really... they get a little fearful when that third Monday rolls around because they never know what we're going to come back home with. Just real quick, I'll say that over the past 4 months or so, I think, with David and Tony coming out, Magnum as well, I've been here and talking to you guys before about how Club X wants the gay males to kind of start coming back in and repopulate. And having these three gentlemen and now a few others that came last Monday coming in and sharing the gay male perspective in Left of the Slash has really changed it and opened it up. I think it's fantastic that we're all sharing the ideas and getting a better understanding of where the energy is across the spectrum.
No, absolutely.
my primary motivator was I don't know what I don't know. There's, you know, plenty of really fucked up hard ways of learning how to not do things mm-hmm. well. Or you can talk to people who have gone and learned and fucked it up the hard way and just trust them when they say, don't do that. And that was my motivator for the first 2 years. It's like, okay, I've got you all to come together for coffee. The Chinese fighting fish are all in the same fishbowl. There's no bloodshed. And I would just start putting out topics. It's a very loose run format. The only two rules that I have are you don't talk about what happens with Left of the Slash, because the righties would be more than happy to figure out where we were meeting and turn up and sit next door and listen with glass against the window as they figure out what our nefarious plans are. And, you know, it's unusual for cops to be able to sort of expose their soft underbellies to each other and go, how do I protect this part? Or, you know, these are the insecurities that I'm feeling about this particular aspect of my dynamics. Can anybody even just fucking empathize so that I know I'm not alone and I'm not royally screwing it up? The second rule is Will Wheaton's law, which is don't be a dick. You know, that's the one that I will come down on is if we can't have respectful discourse, get the fuck out. You know, and that's what helps to make it a sacred space. And we've had some passionate discussions. It is a very mixed bag of people that it's turned into in the last 6 months. We have, as Deke said, some of your fine selves turning up. We've had some people from the femdom community turn up as well. We've had a couple of surprise visits from other members of the leather community. And we never know what we're going to get. Every session is a bit of a grab bag. I host it the third Monday of every month at Annie's Fine Burgers in Kearney Mason.
Holy crap, that's a good burger.
Mm-hmm. They let us take over. They let us take over the patio. It's all freshly made, organic, local. The Hangover Burger has a fried egg and potato chips on it. They do loony fries with Korean short rib and jalapenos. So realistically, just by finding that location, I think I could get 20 people to turn up once a month just to sit and eat food and stare at each other. The format that I like to, I come with three or four topics that I just hold on to, but I like to open it up to the group and say, okay, is there anything that's been niggling at anyone or any questions or have they seen anything? And one of the great things about having David join us over the last few months is the sort of questions that I was asking when I formed the group are coming back up. It's that, you know, I'm a new person entering the community. I'm a new person who's stepping out into engaging and playing and I want to do needles, and I want to do fire, and I want to do electrical play, and punting, what's punting? What's predicament bondage? Wait, fire punting? What's fire punting? Fire flogging? And waterboarding? What? And we have a good mix of people who come, who have been around for as long as Tony has, up until 6 years ago, up until, yeah, the guys who still smell new.
Right.
Even we're sort of graduating out of the freshman year a little bit at this point anyway. Duke and I were talking about it, and one of the things he pointed out that I hadn't really clued into is we're providing an environment for those who want to learn from other people. And like it or not, we're helping to cultivate a new class of masters and tops. Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, the mechanism that I've put in place to encourage this, it's a very open, organic, non-judgmental way of doing it. So that covers the basics of how the group was formed, when it starts. It's open to everybody. Would love to have you guys all come and join us. But I would like to actually ask Kirk, David, and Kurt, you guys were there on Monday. would you share your perspectives about what you're getting? And please, be brutally honest. I am not going to get my feelers bent if you're like, there are a bunch of hetero jackasses with their heads up their ass or standing in the corner stroking each other off. But I would like to hear your honesty.
I didn't see any stroking off.
I was going to say, I'd be getting hetero flexible. Yeah.
There's nothing flexible about me. I'm too old and too fat. So,
Kurt, why don't you start?
I think your group rocks, and I can hardly wait to get there again. It just seems that whenever I'm here, I just seem to find out new stuff that fascinates me. And it was like hitting pay dirt at your place. So third Monday, is that the third Monday?
Yep,
third, yeah,
Monday,
I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah.
So I'm really only into guys, and the fact that there were girls there and that I think some of them were straight was totally, well, I didn't, you know, I mean, my gaydar sucks. So I just thought, wow, this is pretty interesting because it's a totally different perspective for me. I mean, you know, it's basically gay guys and that's about it. And then I met several women that I got to talk to as we were exiting. And it's like, wow, this could be really cool. And it will be. So in a month, we'll do it again. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was asking you guys specifically.
Well, being new, I mean, like, as of August new, the topics that were brought up, the discussions that were being had is nothing but totally constructive. And it's exactly the kind of thing that somebody new like myself coming into the community needs to hear and needs, you know, and as Nathan said, you don't know what you don't know. And so sometimes you don't know what questions to ask. And so it's nice hearing from people who are a little more experienced, kind of bringing up things that they're finding out as they're playing and doing their thing through the course of the month or through the year. And then you can look at it and go, oh, okay, because it's always great to be able to pick the brain of somebody who's already gone through it, so you don't have to. You know, I'm always a big one of I don't want to reinvent the wheel, and I definitely don't want to suffer through the same bad experiences if I can help it. And so this is invaluable, you know. And then the fact that you have a good give and take and a good mix of people that you get to see it from a variety of different angles, you know, because you have different people coming from a bunch of different perspectives. So it's definitely a great group.
Now I'm going to put the gay spin on it for you, as I always tend to do. So it's affected me in ways that I can't even describe, because honestly, my entire life consists of being in a box and surrounded by gays. As a young primitive Baptist growing up, I learned a very distinct mistrust of straight people, because they would always invariably turn on me. They would always get me in trouble. They would always tell me that I was going to hell. You know, it was ingrained to me that you can't trust straight people no matter what. And coming to your group and seeing and hearing how twisted some of these people are has really broadened my mind to think, you know, okay, I've been wrong, and I've been blocking blessings in my life that I could be having because I've been surrounding myself with only gay people. You know, as I was in culinary school, my best girlfriend was heterosexual. I helped raise all five of her damn children, you know. It was one of those things. I was the gay uncle, and I loved them, and I loved her, but she couldn't open my mind the way this group has, because unfortunately it's human nature to lump things together, and I have a bad habit of doing that, especially when it comes to my heart. And when my heart gets hurt, I tend to just block it out and go on and move on to the next thing. So this is really, on an emotional state, opening me back up to trusting heterosexuals again. And believe it or not, I'm a shy person. When I get into a crowd of people that first night that I came,
yep,
was a humdinger, for one. And for two, I didn't know anybody other than Papa Tony, so mm-hmm. I tended to keep my fucking mouth shut. And that's the way I do, is when I don't know people, I back into the wall and I become a flower.
Yep.
You know, I don't... It's going to take several meetings to get to know people, especially the women. Mm-hmm. You know, Jay, funny as hell. I love her to death. She's twisted and warped. And I'd like to get to know her more, but it's hard for me to start that connection, you know? I connect easier with guys. That's just kind of the way it is, unless somebody goes out of their way to help connect me, you know, with females. It's not that I have a problem with females, it's just they're always wanting the control, and I don't like that. But that's how it's affected me. It's been nothing but wonderful, and I've enjoyed all of the ideas that I've gotten. And there's a few more things on my bucket list that I didn't know that I had that I now have.
So what about Frank?
I was just impressed by how really intense everybody was, you know, and strong in what they knew. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, you know, people kind of, you know, I'm relatively new as well, so I look for those experts. And there were a number of guys that were there that, you know, just their being, I felt that they knew what the hell they were talking about. You know what I mean? So I felt very confident. I felt very confident in that. The other thing that impressed me was there was one of your discussions, I don't remember what it was, there was a guy there, and I don't know, it may have been Jay, you know, they had very disparate thoughts on what, you know, on that particular topic. And it was very impressive. He really was... Whatever her statement was, you know, he was like, you know what, I totally don't agree with that. This is what my statement is. And just the way that they did it was really, really cool. Because I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, you know what, I forget again what the topic was, but I'm thinking, I don't know if I kind of quite understand or get that. And then he stood up and he said what I was kind of thinking. And I was like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Because, again, being new, I'm thinking, you know, There's another side to it, but if I don't hear it from the experts, I'm thinking, maybe I'm off base.
Well, just a note on the experts. These are just the people who've been out there doing it. I would mm-hmm. be very cautious about putting the gospel label on there.
Yes.
There are people who have come out in the community, they've seen me play, and they're like, oh, you know how to do this, you know how to do that, you know how to do this. I'm like, yeah, and you know what? I hit myself in the face with a flogger 3 times at the last party. You know, the first time I did Fireplay, I couldn't ignite. Despite his best efforts. And then...
It happens a lot when you get older.
Yeah.
Just proves how not good you are.
And then I went up and I stood there and everybody's like, you should get in the water now. I'm standing there and they're like, you push it. So there's no expert. You know, the expert is catching yourself, hitting yourself, and listening and learning, and then seeking out exactly what I wanted from the group, which is, okay, you know, I want to try this. Who is experienced in the community that I can go to and learn? But I absolutely agree that I have been floored at, for all of these aggressive alpha types to really be in the same space, to basically be having polite discourse and disagreement is eye-opening. Yeah. And it's thrilling for me. Go ahead.
I'd like to interject on that one. See, that brings up my feedback. What I've been doing with fetishmen for years is, one, providing a guaranteed safe space. I mean, like, standard question I ask, okay, everybody here who's been to fetishmen events, who here has ever been treated shabbily at one of our events? Raise your hand. Okay, that's unusual. That's not normal. There's always ego. There's always domination games. There's all this other crap. The difference here is that we attract a lot of people who are very responsible human beings. They tend to lead with their hearts. They're nice people. Well, not everybody's going to be that way. But the rest of us tend to set the tone. And that's the important point. And see, what I want to point at you personally is that you're very gracious with setting the tone. So like out in La Mesa, Scotty and Doran have been hosting gay male fuck parties for decades, at least 20 years. the worst thing that's ever happened at any of their fuck parties, and they have it like every month during the warm times of the year, the worst thing that's ever happened is that somebody stole a VHS porn tape from one of the play spaces. And the guys were devastated, and I said, you've been hosting this stuff for decades, and that's the worst thing that's ever happened? I said, you know, the reason why is because everybody wants to be on your good side, because you are good stuff. They don't want to be banished because you're providing something with an open heart, and everybody loves you for it, and it increases your visibility, but it also increases your good karma. And I want to acknowledge you for being that guy, because you do set the tone. You don't have some wimpy attitude like, oh, I wish somebody would do something about it. You tend to go right at it. And that speaks of leadership. So I want to acknowledge you. I was going to say, Scott, what did you think?
I really liked the conversations that came up and the respect that people with differing opinions had with each other, presenting their conflicting viewpoint. So, and the content of the conversation was also spot on for what I was looking for.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And I was there too, so I'm going to put my
25.
I've been there. That was my second time, or third time. Was my third time there. Yeah. What everybody else said, yes. And for me, I just really got turned on, and I had texted you yesterday and told you, I like the edge, I like the swagger, and I like the attitude. And I don't mean that in a way of like harming people or whatever, because I feel, you know, dealing with submissives and boys and all that, I tend to fall into that lover energy, and it's just like, I need something to balance it out. And what, you know, especially on Monday, I like that. And that really spoke to me. And I like the women, too. I like the women. They don't give, you know, they talk their fucking mind. And I just love that, all that energy. And with the discourse, you know, we can agree to disagree. And, you know, this, effective listening and communication. I like that, and it has caused me to, in the coming months, is to reboot myself, and get back on recon, and because I've just been throwing my little rod out in this little small pond, and after coming here for three times, there's a big place to play in. And the other thing I got too is that I never wanted to play with women. I'm not turned on to them because I just love them. I want to fuck. And then play. And I'm not into women, but I got opened up to that, is that, well, you don't have to have sex with them. But it's a good way for me to get some technical expertise, because I feel I got the energy for top, for master, for sir, but I don't have that technical stuff. And for me, what I'm going to do is try to put the fucking on hold. It's hard. It's going to be a challenge. And I asked Duke to mentor me in the coming couple of months to get some technical expertise, because I got the whole sexual thing down. I got that. I want to play, and I want to not like be a performer. I want to play, and I want to know my shit. I want to, you know. And we have other people coming, even like Kobe and and Travis and all that. I'm not putting them up on pedestals, but they got what I want. Y'all got what I want, and I know that. By getting that for myself, that's what these fucking boys and these subs want too. They don't know it, you know, because they want to run the show and do all this shit. I mean, I'm okay being a service top, but not all the time. It's like, shut the fuck up, and I'm running this with confidence. And I can go on and on and on, but that's okay. And I'm starting that with a shameless plug for Christmas experience. We have a Master Z coming. He is a Buddhist monk who is like BDSM, you know, scholar. And we're having the slave master. He's the other facilitator that's coming. And he's bringing that engineering technical stuff with it. And it's just going to be a really fucking, what you've heard about left of this thing. This is what's coming at the end of January. So again, I want some more information. And not only, this is not for tops. we need to balance it out with some sub energy. So if you don't want to go, if you know some subs who are interested in this, let me know.
The great thing about these two good guys that are coming, they're part of one of their focuses is on that slave master dom sub role playing. And again, you do need to kind of engage in a role, whether that's your true role or you're going to just do that for the weekend and experiment with that other role. But the coolest thing about these two guys is that they've been in that role and had so much experience with that that they really taught slaves how to be slaves and doms how to be doms, and not so much in a BDSM, technically speaking, but in a relationship kind of a way, how to be those roles in a relationship to one another. That was a really great, especially slave master. He was really, some of the things that he talked about and how to train a slave and all those kind of things were key for any dom that wants to train a slave. Yeah. I think he was great.
And I think the word is authenticity. Is to be authentic in your top energy and don't be unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, and still be in a loving way, but it's like, hey, this is...
Yeah. Is that what you...
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I did Butchman's like 2 years ago with Bob. Well, we did it separate while we were there because they asked me to split up, and I'm glad, And he had a heterosexual male dom, and I was perfectly fine with that, and it went very, very well. I didn't really own my mastery until I did Butchman's, and I've been in the scene a hell of a long time. I've been apologizing for my existence as, a big sweetheart, that, doms are supposed to be assholes, right? And I just couldn't see myself having to get into that role. Well, I'm not that role. I am who I am. And my big breakthrough that weekend was really owning the fact that I'm fine the way I am and to get into it. And that's when I really stepped into my power. And however that shows up for somebody, I really do recommend it strongly to every man here. It's a good thing to do. It's worth doing. If you're even the slightest bit interested, come talk to me. I'll vouch for the hell out of it, and I'll do whatever I can to help you. Let's get this going. I'd love it to have these men here, there. That would really please the hell out of me. It really would, because this is sort of like a spiritual retreat to kick off the year. That's the way I'm selling it.
Like that, yeah.
It's a spiritual retreat because it's a way for us to bond in a way that most Butchmans never do, because you've got... I'm here with him, but we separate. But what if we all have interrelatedness already? And it makes it, I think, extra nice. Brings that extra little flavor to it, that there's already a deep level of trust. We don't have to be just constantly judging and worrying about how we're being seen. We're all really fine. So it's a good team of guys already. So I invite everybody to sign up strongly. So back to you. I'd like to share a little bit more.
Please.
Again... The reason for this event here, this Wednesday night event, information shared is wisdom multiplied. This is a place where we can talk, not just about kinky things, but the things that are important to us, that help us to be better human beings, to deal with the things that bother us so that we can leave our burden by the side of the road and start moving up in our lives, moving through the different layers of heading towards self-actualization. Well, in order for that to happen, one, we have to talk. Two, there has to be trust. And I salute you for bringing that, like I said. And that's what this is about, too, that we already have that culture of being able to share with an open heart and not having people shout you down. Say, no, yeah, right, like I'd talk to you anymore after you said that. People have done that, and we've all experienced it in our way, being treated shabbily, being dismissed. You can get it elsewhere. You don't get it with these groups. We're honor based, and in order to be honorable, you got to be nice. You got to start with nice. So I acknowledge you guys for doing that. So
thank you. Mm-hmm. If, for those of you who are curious, without betraying any of the confidences, I'm pretty sure that what piqued David's interest or the way that I start the meeting is we go around the room, we have everybody introduce themselves by their name, and we see them. this particular time, I asked everybody to say, what do you have left on your kinky bucket list that you haven't done yet? And I'm pretty sure that the suturing the top of the foreskin closed on an uncircumcised penis,
wow,
and then seeing how many times you can get it hard and
released
before it tears was the one that got that smile on David's face.
And I don't know if it was like or disgust. It was kind of
And that came from one of the women who participates. And you know,
nice.
Dad, if you want to learn how to be sadistic towards bottoms with male genitalia, those are the twisted bitches to talk to. Cause, and that's a big part of why we do it. Is just, you know, you get so out of your perspective and out of your box. You're like, I never even thought about looking at it that way. One of the things that I try to do, and I think this is something that I've seen Tony do, is I have no qualms about dangling my own shit out there to help instantiate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making anything up. Duke doesn't make anything up. We've all got our personal experiences. And for lefties, we all sit around and we're like, oh, I'm dark, twisted, and broken, and I have evil bolts, and I don't know where my limit is. I know where my limit should be, and I know where I could go past my limit. At least I think I'd stop there, or maybe I wouldn't stop there. Getting everybody into a group and actually sharing that, you get that sense of, okay, I'm not quite as fractured as perhaps I thought I was.
Yeah.
But then you get the ideas.
But then you get the idea.
And then they snowball.
Yes.
And then you become more twisted.
It happens quickly.
I hope so.
Monday was my first night there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what I enjoyed about it, and certainly learning the technical stuff is great. And I'm always up for learning new, you know, kinky, twisted shit.
Yep.
But being that it's a safe space, if we're going to be good at what we do, I think it provides an opportunity for us in our own personal growth on our path to whatever it is. And we need that safe place to be able to talk to other tops and saying, here's what's going on with me. Anybody else experience that?
Yeah.
You know, and so we get to explore that at a safe place.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, we're just going to go and get lost without that. And I think certainly groups like this, we get to do that, and there's another opportunity. And I think that's really the value of these groups. You'd be able to do that.
Yep.
And then learn all the kinky shit.
Monday talked about less than smart things that we had done with humans. We had talked about bad experiences that happened is with trying to mentor somebody on the other side of the slash who's trying to mentor a submissive rather than own a submissive. And so he was mentoring a submissive. That didn't work out really well.
It started off great.
I had a submissive who, as it turns out, was completely mentally unstable, and I thought I could fix that. Like, I had that skill set as a dominant.
Yeah.
I didn't. But anyway, we got to relate those stories, and it's in a safe space. Like I said, you know, when you get all the other people together, the submissives, the women, the boys, whatever it is, if you're all in a mixed company, well, fuck, I'm the dominant. I'm the master. I can't admit that I'm foul. I've never won. That's all she knows, is that I'm always right. She does what I tell her, and we move on from there. But we get into left of the slash, and it's that safe space where you go, woo, fuck that up. Anybody got any ideas how to recover?
Yep.
There was a guy that said he had a long weekend at play, and then he kind of just got totally burnt out, was in a bad space for a couple of days. So that was the coolest thing, because probably about a half a dozen people in that room, women and men, were saying, hey, do this, do that, and giving him, I mean, real specific things to try to get out of that funk, and that was the cool thing about that group.
You know, Leather Realm every year, that's always fun, because we do the weekend at Pride, Leather Realm, down there at the West End of Melville Park. So you've got, I don't know how many people we have in the volunteers area, though. We've probably got 40 tops that are playing all weekend long. And they go playing all weekend long, strong, hard, with all these new people that are coming through. And then Monday, Tuesday come around, and they're still loving it. And then Wednesday, crash. I mean, like, all the tops in the community crash on fucking Wednesday after crash.
Post-event depression. Yeah.
Genius over here, like, scheduling Left of the Slash right after that. I ain't possible.
It's purely coincidental that almost every single month, Left of the Slash comes 48 hours off the... A party, an event, an extreme workshop, and we get everybody turned up, and they're just like, I'm just glad that I can come and tell a bitch what to do, and I don't mind getting my own soda, and I'm going to eat some red meat, and I'm going to listen to you all tell me about how you fuck your lives up, and that'll make me feel better about mine. And then, that's an unexpected bonus that I got from forming the group. You know, everybody focuses on the hard skills. It's a visual thing that we do. You know, you can turn up, you can go to 5-6 parties, you can watch someone Florentine with floggers, and you can figure out the mechanics in your head, you can watch someone single tail, you can watch someone do a needle corset. You can reverse engineer what it is that they're doing technically in a scene. You can't get in their head. Mm-hmm. And that's a big differentiator for me in my journey, where I went from, okay, I'm talking a scene, to, no, I'm absolutely taking control of this scene, because not only do I have confidence that I can do what it is that I'm going to do, but I know, if I whisper in her ear these words, I'm going to elicit this reaction, which is going to cause this endorphin dump, which is going to make her more susceptible to this. One of the complaints that I have gotten from my own girl is, you know, you never let me cry. You never push me to that breaking point. And we were at a camping trip a couple of years ago with an open-air dungeon, and I strung her up between two trees in the middle of the night and was doing needles and body punching and playing with her, and just, she just was not going to give me those tears. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped and stared at her for a minute. She started to get worried, and I walked around the dungeon, and I just started turning off the lanterns one by one. She said, what are you doing? Turning the lights out, and I'm going to bed. You're going to leave me here strung up in the woods in the middle of the night? With yeah. Good night. Click. Took about 2.5 minutes for the screaming and the wailing to start, and turned it back on, and she was just flooding. Now, I get aroused by
everybody else was hard. So.
People, yeah. Mark was just in the corner like a horny baboon. Just I get aroused by making people cry. It's one of those sick, twisted things where it never really would have occurred to me. But I've also, through my relationship with her, understood the cathartic release that that gives her. I mean, it's that emotional purging. But that, again, it's one of those situations where how did I pick up those skills? Hanging out with sick, twisted Muppets like this one and Marcus. And having conversations, one of the conversations that we had, one of something on somebody's bucket list was, I want to do a forced abduction zine. Yeah, I want the white panel van and the balaclavas. And I said, okay, out of the 26 people who are here, who will be willing to participate and make that happen? And I think, like, 14 people in the room put their hands up. So it's feeding off of that. One of the things that I had done at another event that we were doing was a scene in a bucket. So I would turn up with a wicker basket with a bunch of just random shit that I had picked up. And the idea was to challenge the tops. Here we are in a public venue. These are the restrictions. You can't break any privacy laws. You need to be subtle about what you're doing. But what can you use in this bucket to engage in a scene with your submissives in this environment?
Yeah, so one time it might have been breath mints, rubber bands, a pack of toothpicks, and some little minion toys from Burger King.
One of the advantages about having kids, I've stumbled across some of the most sadistic shit that you can get your hands on.
You'd be surprised what you can do with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Binder clips and dental floss. That was another fun one. Or clothespins and dental floss.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I had more than a couple people run around. They had clothespins on their nipples when the dental floss was running under their clothes to their toes. So every time they moved, they were
pulling. Wow! So that gives you that's the sort of riffing that we go. And prior about 2 weeks before this loss left at the Slash, I'm like, you know, it's the holidays. The swap meet had just been held by Club X. I've got some toys that I have been playing with. It's Christmas. I'll do something nice for my girl. I'm like, okay, baby, pick out the one toy that you would like to get rid of from our toy bag, and I will wrap it up, and I will do a sadistic Santa exchange on Left of the Slash. So I invited everybody to bring something wrapped that they could put into the bag, and at the end of the night, everybody could pull out of the bag some random item. You didn't know what you were going to get. So she picked the most vicious thing that she absolutely hates. I'm like, great, okay, I know what the next thing I need to buy to replace in the toy bag is. Thank you for making that easy for me. I ended up with a penis cookie cutter and some plastic drop sheeting. Cloth. Yeah, some plastic drop cloth. So I'm going to be doing a wax play scene with that. Because, you know, you place that on someone's skin and you start to fill it up with hot wax. Mm. It's got a very interesting sensation to it. You ended up with
a knife from him. It's cool.
Crocodile Dundee size knife.
BFK.
Pakistan stainless steel knife. It's like 18 inches long. It was like, fuck yeah, that's a knife.
Yeah. It's perfect for knife play. It's just sharp enough, but it's not like Ginsu sharp where you're going to be worried about getting stitches. But the psychology of it, it's just a huge, massive knife. And so for the intimidation factor, it's perfect.
And then Tony scored the jewel in the bag.
I made a beeline for it, I admit it. I was a big bully about it.
Crafted a...
I have a picture with me, but it's on the phone.
To me, it's something you use to play rugby. He'd formed it out of Cat 5 cable, I think it was.
Oh, he made that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, I gave him...
I think it was coax cable.
It was coax, that's right, because it had the firmer core to it. And he was just finishing putting a handle on it.
That's creative.
And I was just desperate to get it.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a picture with me, but we'll show it around during the break when we're not recording.
But that creative sparking and juicing, and I think that's really where it draws into as well. I mean, you were alluding to the camaraderie. You know, there's a gentleman thug kind of attitude to the group.
He has a picture.
Where we're not out to harm, but we're not afraid to hurt people. And some of the more powerful ones that... the topics that have come up. We've had someone who was like, you know, I have released a slave and I can't get over it. Mm-hmm. This person's no longer my property, but it drives me nuts to see somebody else looking at her or playing with her or how do you cope with that? And that's real deep, sticky, soft skill stuff that you don't talk about.
And you need to.
And you need to. I mean, one of the things you guys heard me say was, you know, your reputation is your credit line in this community. You can fuck up once and someone is going to go, oh, he's inexperienced. You fuck up again, okay, he's an idiot. You fuck up a third time, stay the fuck away from him, you're going to put yourself in harm's way if you keep playing with him.
Pass it around. Lost it. That way.
You lost it?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
One of the things I did not anticipate happening, when I formed the group, I created it on HetLife, and I was like, oh, great, we'll be able to have open discussions, and 70 people joined within, like, 2 weeks, and didn't say a word, because they were fearful that anything they put out there could be read by anybody who gets the link to the group, so like, I don't want to put out my scene ideas and whatnot. And when it became apparent that there wasn't going to be this open discussion for all the submissives to sit with the popcorn and watch, we're going to get an insight into the minds, they started emailing me directly. Could you please bring this up as a topic at your next Left of the Slash? I'm like, am I being topped from the bottom with my own? But yeah, it's all good fodder. It all got put into the list of potential things to pull in. And sometimes we go through 6-7 topics in 2 hours. Sometimes we only make it through 2. But it's proven to be a great environment for dispelling a lot of the illusions. Tony was present for probably one of the more volatile ones of the poking of the great leather. And leather in the community and what it means to people and the absence of formal leather being present in the community as it exists today. And both Tony and one of the other participants were able to present these parallel perspectives, which, had you not been present, you would have taken as being conflicting sides of the same story. But by being present, you were able to go, no, this is two individual stories that just happen to be progressing next to each other. So it removes a lot of that space for assumption and conjecture where you're within the box of your own prejudice and experience trying to relate to people. I think this is what's really getting under your skin, David, is this, oh, wait, you can think differently, and that's not... You went left. I thought you were going to go right. So,
And on this note, we are at our halfway mark, so we are going to take about a 10-minute break and socialize.
Yes, we do. Okay, so we're going to pass around the hat.
All right. I just did. So I'd really like to hear from the people who founded the group, how has it changed your lives? How has it enriched you? Do you see yourself as being more of a mentor now than you ever did? Where you're indirectly mentoring through the group, because you really are. You're training people, you're teaching people, you're expressing opinions and thoughts, and, you know. And the other thing is, the Club X parties, is that kind of an extension of each other? Like, you discuss something at Left of the Slash, and then it's kind of like we have our play parties where people show technique and what to do. So is that what the Club X is for, is showing what you talk about in Left of the Slash?
So there's an interesting convergence and divergence at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I created Left of the Slash, and I was on the board when I started it, I made it very clear that in creating this, this is not affiliated to Club X. I'm very proud of what Club X does, what I was doing for Club X. But we were, at the time, heavily hetero, and that there's only so much I was going to get from that. Club X also didn't need a support group for tops and workshops. You know, it's a 101, 102 entry-level organization that is really for... Which end of the flogger do at home? Which, if you ask Marcus, it can be either end. How do I strike? Where are the no-go spots? You know, what do I do if the police turn up? You know, Club X is very much education in the broad spectrum, and it can appeal to everyone and anyone. The first workshop that I went to was a duct tape workshop where I learned how to make mitts and a hood. That was not something that I had come in prepared.
So you actually have workshops.
So I'll
Club
let,
X does it.
Yeah.
I can talk about
okay.
it a bit.
I'll let Duke talk to the Club X side of things. So you threw a lot of good points. Actually, I'll let you talk about Club X while I think about
how... You go back and think about the veterans.
Do the Neo bullet dodge on the...
So, for my part, on the first part of the question, the mentoring and with the group, Nathan is 100% the founder of Left of the Slash. I'm just one of the lucky guys that got in there at the ground floor and have kind of watched it evolve. I think because I've been one of the people that's been there longer, and now we have newer community members that are coming to the Left of the Slash meetings, I guess I am perceived to be in a mentorship role, but really it's more, I learn just as much as I give. My tactic that I have anymore when approached directly about mentoring somebody on a soft skill level Magnum has asked me to work with him on hard skills and train him on some of the things that I do. When it comes to a soft skill type mentoring, if I found that rather than doing a mentoring relationship, it's better just to form a friendship and learn from each other. And that's really what I get at Left in the Slash for me personally, is I learn from everybody as much as I can tell my bad experience and like, hey, don't do this. I get just as much from everybody else. So I don't know that I'm a mentor necessarily, but
as much of any of us are.
Yeah, I think we're all mentors. And I mean, even you providing your input, I learned from that, just hearing you, and you're admittedly brand new in the community. So. to talk about the Club X side, while Nathan still tries to get his head wrapped around his continued role.
There's going
to
be more oversharing.
He's good at that. So Club X is San Diego's largest pansexual BDSM education organization.
It's pansexual.
Pansexual, we take everybody. Gay, straight, trans, it doesn't matter. Everybody is welcome. What's that?
I said you talk about being new into this.
Yeah, everybody is welcome. Like Nathan said, it's predominantly geared at a 101 level. It was actually founded in 1989 as a chapter of the National Leather Alliance by a group of gay men in San Diego. It was originally a gay leathermen's organization. And in 1995, they found that the NLA wasn't really representing them the way that they wanted to. Their goals were predominantly education and trying to pass on the skills. Papa Tony can attest, during the AIDS crisis and crash of the late 80s and going into the 90s, there was nobody passing on those skills. So that's what these gentlemen did. They founded Club X in 1995, officially, with the core goals of education, community service, and social activity. And that's what we focus on to this day. We do 11 separate events every month. Four of them are purely educational in one form or another. We have a rope class, a beginner level group class, more intermediate level group class, and Explore, which is kind of a smorgasbord of all the kinks. And to think of what it was. So Explore is a room like this where we may have tables set up around and everybody will have their stuff. I may have electricity, he may have some paddles, Tony may show up with a single tail or something. Just people that we know and we trust to show other people what it is, and you can experience it without being in a dungeon, and you can try it all out.
It's not about having a scene, it's about someone going, oh, this is what it feels like to hold a $300 violet wand and set it to one or two and run it over their skin and watch the eyes go wide, and which is one of the reasons why I think you stop bringing this, right? You just end up like, zzz, next.
End up with a line of people that want to try the things. And it's great. It's a great experience. But Club X does that. It's predominantly a hard skills education organization. I'm the vice president right now. Our current president, Gurr, is a queer female leather woman. She's got a husband and a wife. She plays across the spectrum with everybody. I mean, if you want a good representation of what Club X has to offer, look at the board. Kobe is on the board. Many of you know him well. So we've got the entire spectrum represented on the board, and I'd like to see that more in the membership now. And it's been picking up speed. Like I said, Magda, Scott's a member, a few of the others in this room are members as well. We do play parties every month at this point. We were doing 8 parties. For 2015, we have an ambitious every-month schedule. It's on a rotating basis, so January is going to be... We have 3 styles of parties. We have an open play party, which is big. It's got themes. You can come in costume. It's a whole lot of fun. Well, they're all fun. But the open party is 125 people. And then we do a party at a place called The Hideaway, which is also going to be where Butchman's is going to be at. That's limited to 60 people. No theme on that one, but you can leather it up as much as you want, or just be naked, or whatever fetish wear you want to wear. Smaller venue, but still a whole lot of fun, play party. And then every 3 months at The Hideaway as well, we do an event called Extreme, which is an education event / play party. So in this case, this one's already sold out, but this Saturday, the 20th, we're hosting Extreme Medical Play. So it'll be sounds and catheters. saline infusion, and blood cupping. Will be a three-part workshop for about 2.5 hours, and then we'll roll into a 3.5-hour play party. So, but that's the kind of stuff that Club X is doing every single month. If you're interested, by all means, clubxsd.org. Talk to Magnum, talk to Papa Tony. We've got the website. If you're on Fet Life, or as Nathan likes to jokingly call it, Het Life, it is predominantly a hat-centric website, but it's morphing into kinky Facebook across the spectrum. I have seen more and more gay male accounts start populating in San Diego. So hopefully that means that we're starting to merge the communities a little bit more, because FetLife is a great resource for getting information out there. And if you're looking for Club X events, it's one of the best places to do it. So.
One of the things that we talked about left of the slash, the ex-president Desiree has formed the San Diego workshops, events, and gatherings calendar. It's a Google calendar you can go to, and it will list everything that's going on in San Diego that people want you to know that's going on. There's like 4 days a month where nothing is happening, which is one of the reasons why I left with a slash and ended up on the third Monday, because everybody was smarter than me to know that you don't hold an event 2 days after everybody beating the shit out of each other. But Fetishman is listed on there. TNG events is listed on there. Two different rope groups are in there. Submissive Voice. SBDS occasionally is up there. So this is just a great resource to go and get a feel for what's out there. Coffee socials, cocktail socials, munches, lunches, all that sort of stuff.
Tonight, for example, there's Fetishman San Diego. There's Pictionary at number one on Fifth that Tiger hosts. And that's all. That all goes to support leather-based charities. And 94th Aero Squadron Social, which is a pansexual, all-comers social on 94th. Yeah. Aero Squadron. So those three things are just happening tonight. And that's what an average night in San Diego looks like. We have a great community that's got all kinds of things happening. So.
And that's just the shit we know about.
Right. because these fuck parties that you're talking about, I mean, like, there's a schedule for those.
Yeah, Duke's already telling me. He wants the gangbang.
There you go.
Actually, thanks for mentioning that. The reason that David started having me talk was because I had asked him about, David had actually started asking a question about, hey, where can I get more exposure to play styles? And I do my thing. I say Club X is a good resource. Yeah. Talk to people. But just going to a Club X play party, just because you're going to see a bunch of different dynamics, a bunch of different sexualities across the spectrum, and you'll see it all come together, and a lot of different play styles. You'll see things ranging from what you may consider an average spanking to somebody like Marcus putting hermit crabs and having them crawl across his person's skin.
He blindfolded one of his girls, strapped it to a table, and used mealworms, fake live bait, hermit crabs, just crawling across her skin.
Just letting them crawl and do their thing. I mean, it wasn't like he was forcing anything.
She
you
didn't
know,
snap. She went completely twang.
Yeah.
This guy's fucking... He was doing the DJing. What did you put on?
Oh, there's a kid's song. It's the Gummy Bear song.
Yeah.
It's this nice little bouncy kid's song that's playing while she's having all this terrible shit done here.
In Hungary.
if you're interested, like I said, the Extreme Workshop for this Saturday is sold out, but we are selling tickets right now for the January 10th play party. It's going to be one of the open play parties, so one of the larger ones at the venue in North Park.
Which is how much?
It's $30 for non-members, $25 for members, $35 for non-members.
Okay.
So, and that $35... the $10, what it gets you is a 30-day temporary membership to Club X. So if any time during that 30 days, if you're like, you know what, you guys are actually pretty fucking cool, I'd like to join this group, that extra $10 goes to your annual membership. So then your membership's only $15. But it's $25 a year for annual membership. Scott, I believe, bought a 5-year membership. If you buy additional years, or if you come in as a couple, if you have additional people, the core membership is $25. Any add-ons are $20. So in Scott's case, it would have been $105 for a 5-year membership. One, he's guaranteed, you know, he's going to get all the info and be a member for the next 5 years. Two, he doesn't have to worry about rates going up. which is what I'm going to do, actually. Is when I step on the board, I've got a bunch of volunteer points built up, and I can use those towards my membership and party tickets and stuff. I'm going to actually do what Scott did, and we get like a 5-year membership with my points. I don't have to worry about rates coming up anymore. But anyway, January 10th is the party date. It's a 6-hour play party. It'll go from 6 p.m. to midnight. It'll be in North Park, right around 30th and actually up that way, right off of 30th and University is where our venue is that we use. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Heaven and hell is the theme, so you can take that however you want. You can be a devil and an angel. You want to, you know, however, whatever you want to do your costume, or just show up in a trench coat and take it off when you get in the door. I
mean, he has an uncanny ability to find porn that he puts up on a large projector throughout the party, to the point that the first party, the first themed party that
Star Wars
I had influence over was a Star Wars party. So I'm in a full homemade Darth Vader getup and a kilt back in the room, flogging my little slut trooper, and this crowd of people suddenly stop next to me, and I know I'm not this good. And I turn around and look up, and on the big screen is Princess Leia sucking off Chewbacca. And sculpting and pulling hair. So awesome. That's the sort of fun stuff that you can expect.
So this crowd knows in the last couple parties I've actually started incorporating gay porn into the video bits, just because, one, it's super fucking hot. I'm hot, but I still am like, God, that is hot to watch. But like the last one, it was...
What time was the last one?
Oh, Heroes and Villains. So yeah. I had gay cop porn going on for a while.
Love it.
That was hot. Yeah. So.
And... No, I mean, I'm no longer on the board. As you've heard David and everybody else say, coming out to the left of the slash has given them a different perspective of, you know, of head folks and how we can be. Mm-hmm. And as with any group, we're just a sample. That doesn't mean that everybody's, you know, everything is risk aware, everything is safe and sane.
You're going to meet assholes, just.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always assholes. So.
You guys have the ability to influence the head folks the same way. Tony came to one of the Club X parties, and we had Travis and Tony flogging on a dual-sided cross, and it really changed the energy of the party.
Yeah.
One of the things that I had no concept of when I came out into the community was that extra layer beyond, you know, the Twilight Zone, Side Sounds, Low Touch, how energy play really comes in. One of the things that I love about the big play parties is it's a buoy base. I mean, it's a microcosm of Folsom. Mm-hmm. You walk into the environment, and you can get buffeted around by the eddies of energy, and you can walk away from the ones that don't appeal to you, and you'll get drawn to the ones that do.
Yeah.
Folsom, that's right in the tidal wave. You know, you just like, woo!
It's a guy dressed as a zebra.
Fucking another guy dressed as a bear.
Exactly. The hideaway parties, they're kind of like a 50s, 60s Hollywood bachelor pad. Different rooms. It's got a very swanky vibe to it.
It's swanky.
Yeah.
And the energy shift, you know, you may have GERD inserting needles onto somebody's fingernails in one room.
Ouch.
And somebody who detests bunny fur strung up to a cross being flogged with bunny floggers and just cussing like a sailor. It's great for that energy exposure. And when we used to play at Servitus, one of the things that I learned, I had my girl over a cage, and I was giving her barehanded spanking. And then Marcus put one of his girls on the other side of the cage, and the girls linked hands. And he started doing impact play with her. And you could, it was like feeling the water slush in a bathtub, where it would come through his bottom, up into my bottom, into me, and I turn around and slam it back down again. And then Duke brought Narissa over and put her in the middle as well. So now the energy's got a slight spin to it as well, and those are experiences that I would never have had just turning up, do my scene, thank you very much, squirt, 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 wipe it down, let's go.
Yeah,
I kind of
Jerry Adams still avoiding the mentoring question. So I don't consider myself to be an active mentor. I created Left of the Slash separate of Club X because the nature of the puppy frenzy of a lot of people who come into Club X is tiresome to some of the folks who have been around for more than 4 or 5 years, to the point why I'm sure, and I'm certainly not trying to pigeonhole anyone here, Tony, somebody can walk into the room and you can look at them and look at how they're dressed and how their eyes are sparkling and go, they bought a flogger, they have under the mattress bed restraints, and they may have read BDSM 101. That one over there, she read 50 Shades, and her husband doesn't know that she's here tonight. But they come with the same questions, the same hunger, the same thirst. And in volunteering for Club X the way that I did, because it's a nonprofit, I jumped in with both feet and gave it my all for as long as I could. There is no satiating that beast. There is always someone new, someone hungry, someone thirsty, and everybody will take and take and take and take and take. Left of the Slash was my attempt to go, okay, I'm going to create a space where I can take back. I felt that I was creating the environment, and I was doing it because I wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. Not because I felt that there was a lot that I had that I could teach. But what you've seen in the year, and this is what Marcus and Duke were chuckling at, is I will throw a question out there and look around and everybody will look at each other and shit, you fuckers aren't going to say anything about this, are you? So I will put my personal experience out there about how I learned the hard way. One of the things that we discussed with this last one, and I'll share it because it was my topic and I'm talking about my perspective. As a talk, you don't have to say yes to everybody. You know, as a bottom, you may look at someone and they may be the best inverted rope bleed-out specialist that you've ever seen, but you get that little knot in the bottom of your stomach that's like, that could be fun, but you really terrify the shit out of me, and not in a good way. Tops get that way, too. There's something where someone will come to you and they'll go, yeah, I want to be a hand to spank you. Okay, let's talk. And you can only have you here and here and only this much intensity, and I have this injury here. Okay, this is all good information. And I'm going to try and seduce you. And if I succeed, you get your rocks off, and I know that I got smarter than on the top. At which point I'm like, you can put the red flag down. You don't have to beat me with it any longer. I see it. I'm not the right person for you to want to play with. There'll be people out there who are. Learning to say no. Learning to recognize those situations. Not trying to be the first experience for the sake of being the first experience. And not chasing all of that down. I was approached about a year into the community by a young lady who had come to one of the Club X NMOs, and she asked if I would mentor her. And I'm like, well, I can cover the basics with you, sure. There's no immediate chemistry, there's nothing there that I would be concerned about. I talked to my submissive about it because I'm not going to fuck up my primary dynamic for the sake of poking something shiny. Bad choice of words. And it started off as a very basic education of, you know, what have you read? What do you know about yourself? We're not even going to get into the community. What do you know about yourself? Tell me about your history. And I broke that down. I'm like, okay, so your path, your journey that you're seeking here is to address some of these imbalances that you had in your life. You want to develop some armor, some strength. You want to take some pieces of armor off. You want to have all these experiences. What I didn't realize, because I hadn't been in dynamics with anyone else, is just by being a dominant, just by being a top, if you authentically are in that, you're going to get a reaction. Even as a top going, you're not my submissive, but I want you, the next time you go to a coffee social, to pick out 3 people. One of each gender, one at random. I want you to go over, maintain eye contact, shake a hand, introduce yourself, ask them if they've been here before. Engage in some conversation. That's it. That's advice I would give to any of you. If you have any social anxiety, go to a public space like that. Completely safe conversation. Reach out, make contact, get over that discomfort. I don't consider that to be mentoring. I consider that just to be, you know, that's how you learn to develop your own skills. In that situation, though, it was mentoring. She was submissive. The learning became inhibited by the trust in being led down the journey. And then I got to eat a wonderful, wonderful slice of that delicious integrity pie, because I had been very public about the whole thing. I wanted to prove that it could be done. I didn't understand why people didn't mentor across the slash. And I had that pedestal moment of, if I push this button, I can get something out of this. Mm-hmm. And I pushed the button and I got something out of it, and I went, oh my God, I have just become the exact thing that I was trying to avoid in the entire process. So I took ownership of that. I apologized to her. I wrote about it online and said, okay, I get it. Now I understand why nobody was coming forward and going, no, we don't mentor across the slash. Because all the top sadistic fucks are going, dude, let's watch this. She's fine. We made it through the mentoring. And within weeks, she was under consideration and collared by somebody who had been patiently waiting for her to come out of the other side of it. Mm-hmm. To be a good mentor across the slash, you have to have the emotional connection.
Yeah.
And then you've got to be willing to let go of that emotional connection. Mm-hmm. But it has to be on both sides. And when you have someone who's inexperienced, who's learning this for the first time, you're here. Everybody else they come across is never going to have that first experience. There'll be people who are better than you, but nobody's going to be that first. And then at that point, I was like, okay, mentoring again. No. If there's somebody that I want to put under consideration, I will bring you in. I will train you. Girl or boy. Doesn't matter to me. If the energy's right, and I can put you to service, and I think you've got a good heart into it, and you're going to fit with my dynamics, buckle up, buttercup, let's go have some fun. If I like you, if I consider you to be friends, be around me. Do the things that I do that resonate with you. Don't do the shit that I do that makes you feel squeaky. It's as simple as that. So the left of the slash, what's happened is by everybody coming with their authentic energies, it has somewhat of a mentor air to it, a tribal wisdom that's much more diluted and nowhere near as intense as what I've experienced with the fetishmen, the flux form. And it's an organic open learning experience as opposed to making it too intensely personal. Mm-hmm. I never realized I could have that sort of influence. As you've noticed, I'm a very small man. I'm originally from the UK. I've been here for 15 years. I grew up in a traditional household. I had three sisters. My father worked nights. My mother did everything. So I always had a very protective energy towards the women in my life, to the detriment of allowing myself to have masculine energy.
Yep.
I ended up in a 4-year marriage to a woman who told me she was broken when I met her. But I believe in myself, and I believe I can build a happy life for you. And 4 years in, we had a house in Long Beach. I'm driving to work one day, and I'm like, you know what? If I crash the car just right, she can cash out on the life insurance policy. It will let her pay for the house. She'll never have to work again, and maybe she'll finally be happy. At which point I'd already crossed over the double yellow lines. And that was the the oh shit wake up for me of what the hell am I thinking?
I would hope so.
When I went to her to talk about it, her first reaction was, oh my God, you're going to leave me. That was the second whack up the side of the head. I was like, okay, clearly we are at different levels of investiture in each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at this point that I went to visit friends in San Francisco, and I got to have that first Folsom experience, and I went back the next year. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not living my life for me, and I can't define the quality of my life by how happy I'm making everybody around me. And that was really what started me down this path. I'd always been kinked. Yeah, I'm English. I mean, we're born beating the shit out of each other in the nursery. I played rugby for several years. That's a very heterosexual sport for you. A bunch of men who get together, beat the shit out of each other, go in the showers, slap each other around, and then go get drunk, kiss. when I came out of the community, I wasn't prepared for how it would change me. How actually embracing my dominance changed my attitudes at work, changed the type of father I am that I am to my kids, changed the sort of husband I am to my wife, the sort of friend who I am to my friends, in a non-reversible way, you know. And that's a very, very powerful and alluring thing. But there are people who come out the left of the slash who are just, I just want to hit someone with rubber gloves. That's what I want to do. They can do that. But it helps if they're aware of where the sides of the road are for their path. And if they choose to wander off that path, more power to them. But do it with some awareness. Do it with some self-accountability. Does that kind of answer your question?
Oh, yeah.
Beautifully said.
Very much so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'd like to kind of give a different perspective on the discussion. See, I've had a major journey in this last year in a lot of different ways. But how it relates to tonight's topic, I did not know how things had changed in our community. And I want to share this with my brothers. Things have really come a long way in a very short time historically. I've been around a long time. I get stuck in my ways. What I didn't realize, I went to the all-club meet, was it February?
January.
Yeah, another one coming up.
Yeah, and I was just thrilled with the people that I was meeting. It totally blew my mind. I'd made up my mind on what the local community was like. You know, my open and shut case, you know, but suddenly it blew my mind open that there were these wonderful people that I really wanted to be friends with. And they weren't like me. And it was like, Tony, what the hell's going on? Well, if anything, the process has accelerated for me personally. I went to the Black and White party, and I don't know if I've ever been treated so beautifully in my life. And what I discovered is that people really, really miss us. And what I've discovered is that the folks from Club X and Left of the Slash, they pay very close attention to what we're doing. They're very interested, you know. And what's happening is that if I say this to any man here, if you show up at a Club X play party and they know that you're from Fetishman, you will be treated so royally and so lovingly and so affectionately, and they're going to be so glad that you're there. You're not just going to be some guy that just shows up and, you know, everybody ignores him, you know, you bounce off their indifference. It's not that way. There is so much love out there. There is so much respect. There is so much affection for us, you know, collectively, but they want to know us individually too. And it just totally blows my mind because, okay, I'm going to talk about you guys, for instance, okay? These guys are huge blessings in my life. I mean, I'd be thrilled to have them as friends for the rest of my life, and be totally glad about it. These are people who I have so much in common with that the differences don't make any fucking difference. And I want to know them better. I want to be around them more. And I just joined up with Club X, finally, you know, so I can find out about stuff and start enrolling more of you guys to come join us, because this is a hoot and a half, you guys. This is fun. All the stuff that is from my ancient history from way back then, it isn't there anymore. The world has moved on. We've changed so much, and I needed to really start opening up my creaky old brain. And I'm here to tell you guys, this is the direction that my heart is dragging me. Not because I'm repelled by this or anything like that. It's just that I'm opening up my heart more. I'm opening up my life more. I'm opening up my experience more. And I'm getting a lot more pleasure out of new friendships. And that's why, you know, this is a very important topic tonight. That how wonderful can that be? I'm really loving meeting everybody. You know, not everybody is going to be my favorite kind of person. Like they said, there's always going to be somebody who has a totally different perspective on things. That's fine. I don't have to be asshole buddies with them. I can go hang out with my buddies. So that's what I wanted to say.
You know, I was there in January as well, and I have to just reiterate. I mean, I don't have the experience behind me or some of the pain behind me that, yes, Tony had to overcome to get to the group. So I walked into it, and I thought it was, I mean, I felt, I mean, both from the girls and the guys, I mean, I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. I mean, I was new. First of all, I haven't went to any of those things, so I wouldn't expect anybody to think that I was a buddy. But, I mean, I went up to a couple of the girls that were doing the needle stuff and all that, and, you know, afterwards and talking about shit, and they were really cool, and we had a laugh, you know what I mean? And so I thought the experience was, I mean, I had a great time with you guys there. So I think, you know, last week we had a little discussion about compartmentalizing our life and stuff like that, and so that's not something that, I mean, it's something that we all do, but it's something that I look to kind of not do and bring together. So, you know, I don't mind playing with heterosexual women and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not going to have sex with them and all that, but you know, I felt that when I had that experience in January, I felt like I did that Codex thing, you know, now I come over here and I do the fetishment thing. So I think, like Tony's saying, this bringing in everything together is for me a cool thing.
And in my ancient history, a lot of the techniques that I learned from lesbians, and, you know, and for me, my mind is still wrapped around the idea that I have fisted three heterosexual men. And they loved it, and they wanted it, and it's like, cool. I mean, just these little bucket list things you didn't even know were there, like, huh, isn't that something? No, I've learned so much from so many people who aren't like me, you know what I mean? And honestly, during the really horrifying years, it was nice to have those kind of friends. Because for a long time, like I said, you know, I had a lot of pain because I lost so many people that I didn't know who I could trust to stick around, and, you know, the non-gay folks were the ones that I had as friends back during that time. So it was a very, very sustaining time for me. But like I said, things are so different now. You know, because we're so educated now because of online experiences. We all know what each other looks like, you know, naked. You know, we all know what we're into. We all know all that other stuff. And all those old biases and all those old bigotries and all those old presuppositions, they just fucking wash away. And I'm just here to tell you guys, this has been a real mind blower. Like I said, I can't wait for 2015. You know, on that note, the next Slugs one, we're in the process of making the plans for it. We're throwing it wide open. Really wide open. We want a lot of ideas. We want it to be passionate. We want it to be tribal. And we want it to be diverse. And we want it to be big. So, you know, start getting your thoughts together, because we're inclined to say a lot of yes. A lot of yes. You know, just bring it. You know, you guys have seen how it goes. Let's see how far we can take it. Yeah. Good stuff.
My mind is blank.
First of all, what time is it?
It is
8:47. So it's about that time.
Question to, well, you already answered my first question. You're from the UK.
Yes.
I thought I heard New Zealand. And
there's Canadian, there's New Zealand. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's Boston.
I heard about
I was hearing Boston.
I heard about.
Yeah.
What about? What is it?
A boot.
In your experience, both of you, have you ever been on the right side of the slash? Mm. To get to where you're at now?
For me personally, that introductory experience I wanted to go to the street fair, fine, put the collar on me. So I go down, I'm standing at the gate, and I'm wearing a leather kilt and a harness and a boy's cap and a collar. And the first group who came through the gate were a bunch of bears, and they stopped and they looked at me, and they looked me up, and they looked me down. And I went, holy shit, this is what it feels like to be a 16-year-old Japanese schoolgirl. I could not get that collar off of my neck quickly enough. Because of the... It burned. It burned. It was choking, it was clanging, it was just like, this really needs to come off. I've gotten inside the head of some on the right, and I think it's key to be able to do that, to be an effective top and dominant. On the hard skills, I've tried to walk a very firm line in not doing anything to anybody that I haven't experienced myself, which is why I've been set on fire. It's why I've been flogged. It's why I've been singletoned. I'm a sadomasochist. I enjoy both parts of it. I have an intense fear of needles. Something happened to me in my childhood, extremely painful experience with a medical professional. I react violently to needles. This last year, I trusted GERD to do needles on me because if I'm going to throw needles, I need to know what it's like. Yeah, I can see. Boom, boom, boom. Yep. Awesome. I don't have that connection to how that sensation is going to be. Jay asked if she could put a needle in my throat. I'm like, okay, can I spank you? She's like, okay. But I get to put the needle in first.
Did she put it in your dick?
She wanted to. And then I remember, I'm talking to another top. I'm like, okay, well, it's got to be somewhere where it's not exposed by clothing. And she's like, so I can put it in your cheek? I'm like, oh, you can put it in my forearm. Didn't think anything of it. Gurr's doing 7 or 8 needles on my chest. Very interesting experience. Could not stop the energy flow, but it was interesting being a top energy flow. I was bottoming to the scene, but the energy was not submissive to the point where when Jay put the
14 gauge
through my forearm, I had Marcus holding me down on the table, Annette leaning over me, and I had a very primal energy where I would have come off the table at both of them if I could.
Yep.
And that's how Jay earned the nickname Stabby McAssrape, because she stuck a fucking bicycle needle through my forearm.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
And I know everything that I had read before coming out to the community was that to be a good dom, a good top, you have to start at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You have to come in and earn that place to be the submissive, be the boy, be the top, be the dom, be the master. That's the literature. It's been written. The annals say.
Jay Wiseman has said.
In coming out to the community, I was like, well, you can do it that way, or you can just pick a mix. And I have friends who are switches, and I've had to ask myself that question. Could I be submissive to the right person? No, I don't think it's in my energy. Am I capable of service to the right people? Yeah, I did it to the entire Club X community for an extended period of time. And that was telling for me. But getting into the head of my girl, getting into the head of other submissives and slaves, finding the commonalities and finding the differences. So in short, no.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's mine. Echoes his most exactly. I've bottomed for everything that I top. I have bottomed for it.
I've had those experiences, and some of them I have an intense like for. I mean, I would love to bottom for them again. It's just a matter of finding the right people to top the scene that I trust and aren't going to try to take advantage of that and try to put me into a submissive space, because that's the point where I'm like, okay, Brad, I'll just turn around and punch you in the face now, because I'm not submissive. It's just, it's not who I am. I do like being on the bottom for certain things, but there's nothing submissive about what I do. But I do bottom for anything I'm going to top. And just like he said, it seems to me that most quality people, and I imagine many of you are the same way, and I'll look around, a lot of you are in service to FMSD. Being of use and being of service adds value to my life. So just like he did, I enjoy the things that I am doing for Club X right now. When people come to my boat, I do all the things. Even though I've got two girls, and then if any other submissives are around, they're like, I want to, you know, be of service and be the galley slave the whole day. I'm like, you know, I'm the host. I got this. It's good. You know, let me take care of everybody first, and then as the day goes on, you know, yeah, you can go get their refills and whatever they need. But I enjoy hosting. I enjoy being of service and doing those kinds of things, and they provide me value. It doesn't make me in the slightest bit submissive. I just like helping other people and making sure they have a good experience. Yeah, it's not core. Submissive energy isn't core to my existence, but services.
I want to back up just a little bit. When I talked about my first marriage, I think I put myself in a non-consensual submissive place in how I was trying to be there for my ex-wife. And that's why it manifested in such a strong...
must die now.
Yeah. Not because I was in submission, but because I was such a polar opposite to where my energy was truly centered. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more questions?
I got one. We got 5 minutes. I know, I'm the toughie tonight. So
we're on your turf now.
As a newbie. Yeah. I had an experience a couple of months ago with a Red Bear, gorgeous man, Ginger, who was a fisting bottom for me. And he showed me a lot. What he did is, he didn't really take on the tone of mentor, but he did teach me, as a new top, how certain things functioned, you know, what was feeling good to him. Do you ever find that if you're learning something new, you prefer an experienced sub for that particular thing?
Yes, because I don't want to break my ship. The downside for that is I deal with a lot of backlash from, well, why are you willing to have these new experiences with this person but not me? And I don't want to break you isn't necessarily translating to a good answer. One of the things that drew me to Marcus and Duke is that if you want to learn something, ask. Turn up, be around, pay attention. If you're supposed to do it, you'll absorb it, you'll figure it out, we'll talk about it. If it's just something, if another achievement you were looking to unlock on your Xbox, then you'll get bored and you'll wander off and you'll find something more easy to accomplish. The fire play that we did, Marcus, Duke, myself, did it all on each other before we did it on any of the girls, and then let Narissa and I up at the same time, holding hands, and we both went in the pool together. It's reassuring. One of the reasons that I've been playing with Jay, you know, this is one of the heaviest tops that I know, but she likes to bottom to me for certain things, is because she gives me the feedback, and it's a feedback based on, okay, I know what you're doing and I know where you're off. I like playing next to Marcus and Duke because Marcus will lean over and just be, you're locking your wrist at the wrong point,
and you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and feel like you've been masturbating for 10 days solid, and you're not going to be able to move your form. You just need to loosen it up a little bit. Florentining, fire flogging. Most of the experienced bottoms aren't going to give that up freely to people that they don't know. And you have to earn the trust and build the relationships. There was a party that we went to with Marcus and the girls, and one of his girls had nothing to do, and she asked if she could have a spanking scene. Sure, great. Oh my God, I'm completely intimidated because here's this lifelong slave who's been in this relationship with someone who knows all the tricks. How am I even going to tickle that bell? And I accidentally stuck my thumb in her ass, which caused an interesting kerfuffle. And the energy started to build up, and I asked Marcus, can I bite her? And he said, sure.
Can you what?
Bite.
Oh, bite.
Tuggle. And I managed to bite her in exactly the wrong place and exactly the way that he does it to cause her to orgasm all over the table. That's a no-no in their dynamics. She didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to happen. He gave permission for it. And we were talking about landmines. Landmine. We finish up our scene. He's in the middle of doing needles with somebody else. His shit's now broken and feels like it's betrayed its master. Mm-hmm. And its master's not busy right now. So I took her to the couch. I put her in my lap. I wrapped her up. I gave her hugs. I gave her reassurances. This is not on you. This is not something that you did deliberately. We will talk about it with him when he's done. We did. And he was like, you guys look like you've gone through something pretty intense. What's going on? And we told him. And he's like, that's funny shit. And she's like, yeah, I feel like I did it on you. So that's part of that fun of, you know where you're getting involved in when you play with other people's stuff. One of his early girls heavily into punching, impact, tiny little waif-like creature. But a brat who could hack a top's buttons like you wouldn't believe. She could say the right things, give the right looks. I actually slapped the pasties off of her tits at one party. But we're doing a punching scene, and she's like, that's all you've got? That's all you've got? And I'm, for half an hour, I'm fine. And then she said something again, and I backhanded her, and I gave her a good punch, and I found out 2 weeks later that I cracked a rib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't even feel like I was throwing anything that would have been intense enough to do that. But somebody else's stuff, somebody else who's used to playing in a different way, pushing the buttons and getting a different response.
Yeah.
So,
okay, gents, on that note, we have hit the 9 o'clock hour. If anybody has more questions and wants to stay after, they're more than welcome. But for now, we need to put the chairs back in order and call it an evening.
So let's hear it for our president.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now can you guys see why I like them so much? Aren't they wonderful?